From Malvern Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the international radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This edition of the program comes to you from the Free Presbyterian Church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. During the next several programs, Dr. Mark Allison, minister of the Malvern Church, will be bringing a special series of messages. Here to introduce the series is Dr. Allison.
This is Mark Allison, and I'd like to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We're glad that you've tuned in tonight. We trust that the Word of God will be a great blessing to your heart. This week, we've been actually studying what the Word of God says about itself. Part of the premise for our study is that there are those false prophets who are in the world who are predicting things that will happen, predicting that Christ would come, predicting great calamity, even predicting the end of the world. And when the day comes and goes, people lose confidence in the Word of God because they thought that the prophet was actually stating the Word of God. Indeed, they were stating only their own ideas and their own notions. And although we warn people that Christ would not come, as Mr. Camping said on May the 21st, yet people still quit their jobs. People still emptied their bank accounts and gave the money to Mr. Camping. They were harmed greatly because of what they did, thinking that he was a true prophet telling them what the Word of God says. Indeed, he's a false prophet. And I don't say that lightly, but he is a false prophet. He predicted Christ would come in 78. He predicted Christ would come in 94 in September. When he didn't come in September, he came up with some other dates near that time. And then he predicted Christ would come May the 21st, 2011. And now he's predicting Christ is coming October the 21st, 2011. Now, I'm not going to go into the reasons why he says that Christ is coming. We have already dealt with that in previous broadcasts. But I'm only saying this to you tonight to encourage you that the book has never been wrong. It is the teachings of this man that are wrong. And he's not alone. There are other false prophets in our day. There are other false leaders, false teachers who have said similar things about the return of Christ, and people have lost confidence in the Word of God because they think that this man is expounding to them the Word of God when in fact he's twisting the Word of God and making it say what it does not say. For that reason, we have been looking this week at what the Word of God says about itself. And we started with looking at Isaiah 55 and verse 11. The Lord said about His word, So shall my word be, that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Here the word of God is compared to the rain or the snow that comes from the heavens to the earth, and it waters the earth, it accomplishes what it set out to do. What the Lord is telling us is that His Word is sovereign. When He spoke the world into being, He said, let there be light, and there was light. And we found that He is the one who upholds the world that He has made by the word of His power, according to Hebrews chapter 1. And we were referring to prophecies that were made that came to pass, showing that He is in complete control of that which He made. We also said that this book that we have in our hands is not only a sovereign word, but it is a spiritual word. It is written by the Holy Spirit Himself. The third person of the Godhead has written for us the Word of God. And it's the Spirit of God who takes the Word of God and He wields it in our hearts, producing life in the heart. We say it's a saving word in that regard. We are saved by the seed of the Word of God. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Born of God, born of the seed of God, born of the word of God, which is alive and abides forever. Then we thought that the believer who has been born of God, who has been given this spiritual life, it is God's desire that he be governed by the Word, that she be governed by the Word. Literally, that they be sanctified, set apart by the Word of God, both as to their thoughts, their speech, all their actions, their dress, their conduct. All of that should be governed by the Word of God. Their speech as well as their thoughts. Inner man as well as outer man. Our Lord prayed for that to happen in John 17:17. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Some have asked me, why is there so little concern for the Word of God in what is called Christendom today? There are those who have the Word of God. They're constantly twisting it. They're not subjecting themselves to the Word of God. They're trying to make the Word of God subject to themselves. When it comes to their own mind, they're only going to believe that which they can reason out. If God is bigger than their reason, then they're going to trim God down in their mind and only believe what they can understand God to be. Well, you're going to have a very small God if that's the God you worship. The God of Scripture is the one who inhabits eternity. The God of Scripture is the high and lofty one, the one who transcends our understanding. He is the one who spoke and the world came into being. At one point, he created a universe out of nothing. And then he fashioned what he created into the world in which we now live. He's the one who, with the Word, took the world apart by the flood and destroyed mankind from every corner of the earth, except for a few souls that were left on the flood to start over, Noah and his family. He's in complete control. He's a great God, yet some will not let him be great because they're only going to believe what they want concerning their rational mind. There are others that are only going to believe or take the Word of God as it applies to their life if it leaves their lust and their passions alone. And so we have people today who are living every way that the world is living, in sin, in wickedness, both with their minds and their hearts, and they're doing that while at the same time telling the world that they're Christians. What is the problem? Christ prayed for his people, those given to him of the Father, that they would be sanctified by truth. And he says, thy word is truth. And if you're not sanctified by the truth of God's word, that is, you're subjecting the Word of God to your mind and only believing that which your mind will say is true and discarding the rest of the Bible. Or if you're making the Word of God subject to your lust and your passions and you're living in sin and you won't repent of sin and you're living like the world and won't turn from that living like the world, then this prayer is not being answered in your life. And the reason perhaps it is not being answered in your life is because you're not one of his people. He said, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. That is a prayer that always is answered. And if it's not being answered in your life, then you have to ask the question, am I truly a believer? And if I'm not a true believer, then I need to come to God and seek him for the salvation that he freely offers in Christ and to submit myself to the Word of God. With that, I want to read one more verse today about another characteristic of the Word of God. It ties right in with the idea that God is sovereign, his Word is sovereign, and that is that his Word is successful. It is a sovereign Word, that which we have in our hands, a spiritual Word, a saving Word, a sanctifying Word. And it is a successful word. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul wrote this to the Thessalonians in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Now, Paul had already spoken to them about their salvation and how that they heard the Word of God differently than others. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he says, verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. We know you're God's elect. We know God has chosen you for salvation, Paul says. How do we know it? Because when the word of God came to you, it didn't come just in words. It came to you with the power of God upon it, the power of the Holy Spirit. It came to you with conviction, with assurance, with that life-giving power. Now Paul is writing to those same Thessalonians, and he's asking them to pray that the word of God would have free course and be glorified, that it would run without hindrance, that it would be successful. Now, if you say to me, well, Pastor, haven't you already said that the word of God is sovereign? Well, it is. But God has ordained the end as well as the means to the end. The end is that the word of God would be sovereign in its working in the earth. The means to the end is that that word must be preached, that word must be given out. And the means to the end is also that we must pray for God to move in the giving out of his word. That is what he is saying here to the Thessalonians. He is saying to them, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. As you have heard the word of God effectually, as that word came to you, not in word only, but also in power, and the Holy Ghost, much assurance, so pray that that word will come with power to your city, to your country, to the world. It's very important then that as the word of God goes out, that we pray for its success. That we pray that God will take and use the word of God as we preach it. Now, when my daughter was younger, there were chores that we gave her to do at times. And there are times when she did not like to do those chores. Perhaps I would tell her to dry the dishes. And let's say when I came back, having told her to do that, I find the dishes are not dried and she went to bed. Now, she will be punished for disobeying. She will not be rewarded for that. But having said that, am I going to let the dishes stay undried simply because she refused to do what she was asked? No. You're going to take care of that need and later deal with the sin that was in the heart of the child. Well, God is sovereign. Yes, his word is going to have power in the earth. But he has commanded us that we pray that it would run without hindrance. And as we pray that way, God is going to use our prayers and the preaching and teaching of his word to affect his will in the earth. You say, well, I know he's sovereign. He can do it without my prayer. Sure he can. But he's going to discipline you because he's already told you to pray. My friend, are you letting the word of God have free course in your life? If we can be of any help to you, as concerning your spiritual life and submitting that life to the word of God, we would invite you to call us at 610-993-3170. Or write to us at Malvern FPC at yahoo.com.